I want you to stay with me, not only to the end of the program, but keep watching because there is something special that we have for you on the Manifest Telecast today, wherever you're watching. Well, this is called Inside Information on the Great Tribulation. And let's just get right into this. I'm assuming that most of you know what the Great Tribulation is. Daniel 9:27, a period of 7 years, divided up in the book of Revelation into 42 months for the first half and 42 months for the second half. Now, let's read Daniel chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I've often asked myself this question, why does God permit the Great Tribulation? There's always been good people and bad people on the earth. There's always been a remnant of righteous and a large number of the unrighteous. And there have been times of what we call judgment or selective judgment or chastisement. But why is the plan of God in the future for there to be a time known as Great Tribulation, alluded to by Jesus in Matthew 24? Well, in this time, there's going to be three major things happening. Number one, there's going to be cosmic activity. Revelation chapter 8 indicates an asteroid is coming to affect a third of the earth. Matthew 24 says the stars will fall from heaven. Those are going to be large meteorites and things of that nature. So there's a cosmic shaking as a part of this. The second thing you need to know are natural disasters. There is a large number of natural disasters that are linked to what the book of Revelation sees as angels pouring out vials and trumpets, blowing trumpets of judgments that impact the earth. There is, for example, volcanic eruptions. There are great earthquakes. The sea and the waves are roaring, which are indicators of tsunamis. So there's cosmic signs or a cosmic shaking. There are natural disasters predicted, but there's also what we call divine judgment. It will be a period of time that the early part of the book of Revelation calls the wrath of the Lamb, and the latter part of the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation calls the wrath of God. So these are called divine judgments. Those divine judgments include darkness, the heat of the sun, no rain for 42 months, men who have received the mark of the beast experiencing great judgment. Now, what I'd like to do is take you to some scriptures. So on the screen are going to come, will come up these particular scriptures. I have four that I want you to pay careful attention to, and here they are. Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be, meaning it'll be the worst time in world history. Matthew 24:22, except those days be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. That means no one on earth would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And I've done some teaching on what that means in the past. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, this is a prediction of Daniel, something he saw. At that time, which is the time of the end, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, and he's actually Michael the archangel, which stands for the children of thy people, and there'll be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, Jesus may have been alluding to the book of Daniel when he said this, because in Matthew 24, such as not since the beginning of the world nor ever shall be. Now, Daniel, we see where it's originally prophesied hundreds of years before Christ, and he says, trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. Now, Revelation 6, 15 through 16. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is coming. Who shall be able to stand? Now, because this is in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, we know that this would actually occur during the first 42 months of what is called the tribulation period. Now, someone says, well, what initiates the tribulation? And actually, that's what we're going to deal with a little bit here today, okay? Now, When you look at why the Lord allows this time period to take place, I'm going to give you some reasons that people very seldom consider. Reason number one, it is the time of the expulsion of Satan from the second heaven to the earth. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, there are three levels of heaven. The first level is where man controls, which is the earth to the atmosphere 60 miles up, the birds of the air, the airplanes, all that's man's dominion. The second heaven is the sun, moon, and stars, or what we call the cosmic realm. And the third heaven is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, where Paul was caught up into the third heaven, and he said that is where paradise is. And so paradise is where God's throne is. So God is located. God's heaven, as we would say it, where he dwells, is called the third heaven. Now, in Revelation 12:10, Satan has been given access to the third heaven to be an accuser of the brethren. That's what he's presently doing. However, he also has, in Ephesians 6 and 12, access to the second heaven, and that's where his kingdom is, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places is Ephesians 2 and to in the second heaven. So God is in the third. Satan rules that cosmos of the second. When I say rules, he has the access to and from that area with the upper atmosphere. And then we discover in Revelation chapter 12 and 12 that when he is cast out of heaven by Michael and the archangels, he will then have access only to the earth. So he doesn't have access to the upper realm nor the third heaven. And he's cast out and comes down to the earth with great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. Now, one of the reasons that Satan is cast out at that point, which is recorded there in the 12th chapter of Revelation, is if you go to the chapter prior, Revelation 11, in verse 18, the judgment of the believers has taken place. So Satan is not going to be, he has no access to the courtroom of heaven. He has no access to the heavenlies because, and I'm talking about where God dwells, where the saints have been resurrected, where the judgment seat of Christ is taking place. He has no access because he can't accuse anybody. So the accuser of the brethren is cast down, John said, which accused them before God day and night. So one of the reasons for the introduction of the tribulation is to get Satan out of his activity of accusing in this third heaven and get him his authority of the second heaven removed and get him to the earth where he has great wrath. So actually there's four manifestations of wrath throughout the book of Revelation. The first is the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, Revelation 6:16. And the reason Christ is angry is because there have been many believers, followers of his that have been martyrs. And you can read about this in Revelation chapter 6. So he is angry, and the martyr's blood has cried out, and God is now avenging the entire earth for all the martyrs of the centuries and over the ages. So there's the wrath of the Lamb. The second level of wrath is alluded to in Revelation 14 and 10, which is called the wrath of God. Now, the reason God's wrath is poured out in Revelation 14 and 10, the second half of the tribulation period, the final 42 months, is that's a judgment for men not repenting. Three times. Men repented not, men repented not, men repented not. So as long as men are repenting, there's a season of grace and mercy. But when mankind becomes so hardened and calloused in their heart and so reprobate in their mind that they no longer repent, that is when the wrath of God is poured out. Then the third level of wrath, which we just alluded to, is the wrath of Satan. That's in Revelation 12 and 12. And the reason he is angry is the Bible says he knows he has but a short time. So because he knows he's running out of time, and really when he's cast out of heaven, he knows prophecy. The Bible's clear. He knows what Scripture says. He has 42 months to work until he is bound in the abyss, the bottomless pit for the 1,000 years. There's also a fourth level of wrath that people seldom talk about, and it's recorded in Revelation 11 and verse 18, and it's the wrath of the nations. The reason the nations are angry is they are battling each other and the Antichrist system for survival. They're attempting to survive during famines, tsunamis, asteroids, and so the nations are angry, according to the Scripture. Now, Satan being cast out is one reason that God allows the tribulation. Now, there's a second reason God allows the tribulation. This is very interesting. And that has to do with the restrainer being removed. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read this to you. This is a whole chapter that deals with the man of sin, the son of perdition, or the Antichrist, and what hinders him from being revealed. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, only he who now letteth, and that is a Greek word for restraineth, will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. So there is something restraining. Now, the King James translation in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 uses the word letteth, and that is a Greek word meaning to hold something down or to restrain something. So God will allow the restrainer that is on the earth to hold back or hold back or hold down the Antichrist until the restrainer is taken out of the way. And that word taken out in Greek means to be ended, to be finished. It alludes to something being completed. And whatever this restrainer is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But once it's taken out of the way, then that is when the Antichrist is revealed. Now, there's different opinions as to what the restrainer is. Some said it was the Roman government. Well, Jesus didn't come at the decline of the Roman Empire. Some says it's Michael, the archangel. Some say it's the church. Some say it's the Holy Spirit. If you look at the whole summary of what the New Testament teaches us about the Holy Spirit filled church, the combination of believers who are filled with the power of God, with the Holy Spirit, that is the thing that is restraining evil from taking over the earth. What restrains evil is good people speaking up. What restrains evil is the church that the gates of hell, according to Jesus, cannot prevail against. So once the church is removed, that's filled with the Holy Spirit and taken out of the way, then this man of sin can be revealed in his full identity. I'll give you an example of this. When Job in the Old Testament was, the enemy was trying to get into his property to attack him, there was a hedge that was up. The hedge formed a restraint. With the hedge up, Satan couldn't touch his children. He couldn't touch his health. He couldn't touch his wealth. He couldn't touch his agriculture or his animals. When God allowed the hedge to be lifted or removed, that's when every attack came upon Job. When it was finished and the attack was finished, God put the hedge back up and blessed Job with twice as much as the end as he had in the beginning. So we have to understand this, that there's a shaking of heaven coming, a shaking of earth coming. We have Michael and his angels warring against Satan and his angels. So Satan being cast out of the second heaven, no access to the third, no access to the second, down to the earth with his demonic powers, introduces what's called the greater tribulation or the wrath of Satan. All right. Now, the falling away will change everything because it says the day shall not come except there come the falling away first. So now there is this restrainer removed. And when the restrainer is removed, there's a falling away. In the Greek, it's ho apostasia. And an apostasy or an apostasia in Greek is a defection or a revolt from truth. So it is a separating yourself from truth. Let's say we would say today falling into unbelief. You have knowledge, you have understanding, but you refuse to believe it. So you now fall into a complete state of unbelief. So you are what you become, what is called an apostate. You knew the truth, you rejected it, you fought against it. And so an apostate is someone who is in the process of apostasia or revolting or defecting from the truth. So in other words, that day shall not come except there come this apostasia, the removing of the truth, and then the man of sin is revealed. So what happens, 1 Timothy 4:1, it indicates that some in the last days would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now that word depart is aphistemi in Greek, and it means to refrain, to draw one's self away from, and to remove yourself away from the faith. So the falling away is the third thing that will, when it happens, when the restrainer is removed, and again, we're talking about some of the hidden reasons that people don't talk about of why the tribulation has to occur, is you have to have a removal of the restrainer, and that introduces the greater tribulation, and then you have to have a falling away where people turn into complete lawlessness. Now, we know that's going to happen because in the book of Revelation, when the four horsemen are released, it says peace is taken from the earth. Well, if peace is taken from the earth, That means the earth is going to enter into this complete time of uncontrolled lawlessness. And you know, when people get angry, it will feed the wrath. And when people become lawless, you know, there's no repentance. It's survival of the fittest. Everyone tries to survive on their own. There's stealing, there's raping, there's murder. These are some of the crimes that the Bible tells us would happen at the time of the end. Now, the fourth thing, and this is the final thing, and keep staying with me here, is there must be a transfer of kingdoms. Now, there have been many prophetic empires of prophecy. For example, we have seen that there has been the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian, the Greece, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. These are empires that had an impact on Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. Now, throughout history, we've had the British Empire, we've had the Ottoman Turkish Empire. And so there have been many empires. The first global government is the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. The first major empire in the Bible was the Egyptian Empire, which existed for hundreds of years. So there's been major prophetic empires. Now, here's what has to happen. Please follow me carefully. The king, according to the scripture, in fact, let's just look at this scripture where it talks about the seventh angel. It says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Revelation 11, verse 15. Now, there's also a book, a verse in Daniel. This is real important. He has a vision, and it said, you watched while a stone was cut. And this is actually a vision Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel is interpreting. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands and struck the image on his feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became the chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away, so there was no trace of them that was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain that filled up the entire earth. That's Daniel chapter 2, 34 through 35. Now, here's another verse. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. Now, this is interesting because this is two different individuals, the Son of Man, but he came to the Ancient of Days, who is God, and brought him near before him. To him was given a dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and that is Daniel 7, 13 through 14. So how does the kingdoms of this world transfer into the kingdoms of our God? And it actually starts happening in the book of Revelation in the latter part of the tribulation, or from the middle part to the latter part, before it is ever manifested on earth. And that happens through the judgments which are taking place on the earth. So let me say something. Years ago, I did a teaching, and you can actually order this online. In fact, I want the guys to bring this up just so the people will know what I'm talking about. It is the entire book of Revelation. And one of the things I taught that people said, Perry, that helped me explain, is this, that the book of Revelation is about the following. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is in the position of high priest. He has a white garment on, and his eyes are like fire, his feet are like brass. He is the high priest of heaven in chapter 1, and he addresses the seven churches of Asia in chapter 2 or 3 as the priest. When you move all the way through the book of Revelation, you come to chapter 19. When you get to chapter 19, you see him coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the first priest of God in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. He met Abraham personally. Melchizedek, he's called the King of Righteousness in Hebrew. However, he had two positions. He was a king, and he was also the first priest of God. Jesus is on earth was to two people, Son of God and prophet. When he went to heaven, he's ever interceding for you and I. He's the high priest of heaven right now. But he has to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is the second position of the Melchizedek priesthood. He's now a priest. He has to become a king. And he has to become a king before returning to earth to set up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And I hope you're following me because this is really good. So what the book of Revelation is about when he takes the seven sealed book and begins to open it, and all through the book, and I can show you this in this teaching on Revelation, it's totally fascinating. You can actually see Jewish festivals occurring in heaven. And it doesn't tell you it's a Jewish festival, but waving the palm branches, that's tabernacles. Satan being hurled out of the heavens, that happens to be the Day of Atonement where they hurled the scapegoat off the mountain. I'm telling you, I'm giving you some heavy revy if you're hearing it right now. And so what Jesus is doing in Revelation, he is transferring from a priest into a king, and he has one crown on his head, but later at the end he has many crowns because he's King of Kings. There's seven continents on earth. He will be the king over those seven continents. And so what you have to understand is that the entire book of Revelation reveals to you how God humbles the nations of the earth, judges the nations of the earth, sets aside the kingdoms of men on the earth, and then sets up his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to rule for 1,000 years as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he can't, listen, Satan cannot take any control. He cannot be cast out of heaven. He cannot release his wrath because the Bible said God did not appoint us to wrath. The Bible says we should pray to be accounted worthy to escape these things. Scripture says the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. So if Satan was using the Antichrist to prevail against the church, it goes against everything the Lord taught us about hell could plot but never prevail. So my time is about up, but listen to me. You can order that book of Revelation, but I also have something that I really need you to get. You know, we've been talking about In fact, I wrote something, and I have not taught on a lot of this at all. And we have new books coming out on the prophetic alert, and we've not, like I said, we've not taught on this at all on the book. But you got to get this. This is new. This is the new prophetic book that we've just put out. Brand new content, fresh insight that I've never publicly preached a lot of this. Get it today. And so we have some great resources, and here's how you can get the information. Stay with us.
Harry Stone is now making available his new landmark book, Prophetic Alert. Stunning new insights reveal what is coming soon, which explores and explains numerous often unknown and untaught prophetic triggers that will lead to the rapture and the future Great Tribulation. Here are some of the 20 chapters. Ezekiel's War and the Rapture Link. The Confusion Over Who is Gog of Magog. God versus Gog. Big Hooks in Little Jaws. How can the Antichrist overpower a militarily armed Israel? Iran, Land of the Assassins and the Gate of the Gods. The Spirit of Cain in the Land of the East. Satan's main principality ruling in Middle East nations. The coming angelic cosmic wrestling match. Why do many Muslims dislike the Jews and Israel? The prophetic vision of the serpent in Gaza. When the abyss releases the destroying angel. Kings of the East and 1.5 billion Hindus in prophecy. When a dead head rises again. God's four weapons of destruction that are coming. Does the Bible hint at a nuclear war? You will learn great prophetic insight from these chapters and more. When you order the Prophetic Alert book with your gift of $25 or more, Harry will also select and include in this offer a mystery CD, a surprise audio message on CD. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. When writing, include your payment and offer number AB151. This is a very timely and important prophetic read for every Christian and all who love Bible prophecy. Your purchase is what helps keep Manifest on the air worldwide. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Many of you that watch us around the world, including the United States of America, understand that part of our teaching is understanding and teaching the prophetic word. I became interested in prophecy in 1985 when I took my first trip to Israel and met my tour guide who has now passed away named Gideon Shore. Gideon was very, very knowledgeable in the Bible, but he was also knowledgeable in Bible prophecy. I remember that year he shared several things with me. Number one, how his brother-in-law from Berkeley, who had a PhD degree from Berkeley University, had discovered the fault lines in Israel, including the fault line that is on the Mount of Olives, which is predicted to split one day when the Messiah returns in Zechariah chapter 14. Then he began to share with me how the Dead Sea was drying up, forming two seas, which is a clear prophecy found in the writings of Ezekiel. He also began to share with me about the ravenous birds that were in the Bashan or the Golan Heights area, and how there was a prediction during the Gog and Magog war of these particular ravenous birds. The ravenous bird section, as a matter of fact, is something that we began to talk about because you can tell, now this is going to sound real heavy when I say this, but when you begin to study the war of Gog and Magog, which has not yet happened, which will happen in the future, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, one of the amazing, stunning things that the Lord gave to me was He says, I'm going to show you the time frame of when it's going to happen and even the month that it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, I went to the Bible, and this was no other research other than what the Lord gave to me, and I can tell you the approximate time frame as far as the month that when the Gog of Magog war will take place. It's a stunning revelation. And then we talk about those ravenous birds and where they're at and how they migrate at certain times of the year. So pay careful attention. This is just not an ordinary book that I've written just to put out some informational prophecy. Number two, it has information that I have not publicly preached anywhere yet because there's too much in there to actually preach in one location, even at a conference. And number three, there will be information here that I don't feel like it's wise with me being on worldwide TV to share in a public setting because of the countries that we go in to preach, and somehow the government could say, let's ban that minister from preaching because of what he's saying. However, you get the information in a book. That's the security of a book coming into your home. So order it now. We're only going to keep this offer going for a short period of time, and then we'll move to something else. Also, keep in mind that Warrior Fest is the last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of March. That's our big youth event with thousands of young people. No fee to attend, no fee to register, but you have to register. That'll open up in January. We then have our prophetic summit at the end of April, and we've got great speakers, including many new speakers. The registration will open up in January of 2026. Now, some other things that's happening, our Israel tour will be in May of 2026, and Pam and I are doing a cruise together for her 65th birthday, and it's going to be September 13th through the 20th of 2026. It's going to be a 7-night New England cruise on the Norwegian Breakaway, and so we have the information on that. We have about half the rooms already taken, but if you've ever wanted to spend some time hanging around us and talking to us and actually greeting us and meeting us, eating at the table together, this is the time to do it. Don't forget, perrystone.org for more information.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.